The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kane is in the building.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tip of the Tower podcast. With me today, Austin Owens, who is back from his one podcast vacation.
Yeah, give me some time off. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you being Mr. Big Time on the NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah. Well, details.
Details, yeah. This guy's showing off Snapchats of getting coffee for Stephen A. Smith.
I'm flexing a bit on social, I'm not going to lie.
Just a little bit, just a tad.
This is my time in the sun, and then I go back to, you know, just sitting in my basement for the next little while, as bloggers do.
And, of course, Jake Middleton joining us. Jake, two podcasts in a row.
Yeah, your fee's it's a new streak.
Yeah, your fee's getting a little expensive, though, I will say.
You're on the heater, pal.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
So we are now officially two games through the NBA Finals. Game three will be technically tonight because we're recording this at midnight. What are your early impressions of the series? I'm a little bummed that they didn't take advantage of game two the way I think they should have, but I'm still optimistic going into game three.
Jake, you want to hop on that first?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was really mad that they lost that game. I don't know. They played so badly. Like, they played so badly. And it was a 2-point game with, what, 30 seconds left?
Yep.
And they had a horrible shooter. He had to take a three, and he can't shoot. Like, I mean, and they, if he misses that, they would have grabbed, they almost caught a steal, but if Iguodala misses that, like he normally does, then they're basically their game winner away from being up 2-0, or they could have tied it. I'm pretty sure they were down, what, 2?
They were down
8-5.
Yeah. I mean, if Kawhi makes the steal on that, he's got a wide-open layup. That's a tie game. We're going OT, but that's an F. I mean, in hindsight,
I mean, as a whole, though, like,
oh, Jake cut off.
Did we lose Mr. Middleton?
We might have lost him.
Oh, I hear him. Oh.
Well, one thing I'll say, just to echo on Jake's point about Curry, we'll get Jake back in a second. I think his connection's just a little wonky. But the one thing about Curry is that that should have been a travel. That final, like,
yeah,
that should have been a turnover.
But it wasn't. I don't know if it's just me. It wasn't that egregious. Like, at the time, I didn't even notice.
We're not focused on that. We're focused on the ball, right?
Exactly.
Jake, we got you back, buddy?
Yeah.
All right. I decided to kick you.
Yeah, I don't know. It would have been nice to get the call on that, but traveling's such a, I mean, unless
they're never calling traveling on.
No, unless it's so blatant that they don't have a choice.
Yeah, like LeBron basically walking up the court, Russell Westbrook fucking walking up the court.
Jeremy Lin, what was it, last year or a year before that, took like 12 steps to go to the hoop. He like shuffled from the 3-point line.
Bradley Beal, what, they didn't call that one.
Traveling is such a just. However, they're feeling that night, and that's sort of how it feels.
Traveling is also such a hindsight call.
Yeah.
Like remember that in I think it was the college NCAA final where they're like, well, he missed a travel. It's like, yeah, because you had Gene Steratore say it was a travel like 5 minutes after the fact.
You got to look at 12 different angles and decide it's not that easy for the refs.
But no, I mean, when you score 3 points in the first 6 minutes of the third quarter. And in the final 5 minutes of the quarter, you only put up 10 points and your opponent puts up 3. Like, you don't deserve to win.
No.
They missed way too many open shots, taking way too many jump shots. I still have no idea. With the way the refs were on Sunday, I have no idea why they didn't go to the rim just at will. Like, they were probably going to get called.
Right at the end of that stretch where it was what was it, the 24-1 stretch? I mean, Kawhi was drawing fouls. He was taking contact. So he was trying, but they just didn't end up sticking with it from the end. I don't have anything to add on to what you said. You're honestly 100% right. It's just, it's one of those games. It's like the Warriors didn't really win that one. It's the Raptors lost more so.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors did generate.
They played well.
They did. They took advantage of the Raptors.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the Warriors just weren't good and the Raptors were worse. The Warriors played their game well. And every single basket in the second half was assisted on. I mean, they were fantastic.
Didn't they have an assist on every basket except for like 4 or something?
22 baskets, all 22.
I'm saying the whole game.
Oh, yeah. No, it was ridiculous. So, I mean, they played their game.
Way too many layups too. They gave them way too many layups.
They were giving up.
I counted 6 in the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were to tell me before that game that the Warriors are one of the best offensive units, definitely in the NBA, but like in the history, they're one of the most effective offensive units of all time. And if you were to tell me that unit would be held to 3 points and that 3 points would come with 2 seconds left on the clock or 10 seconds left in the last 5 minutes of a quarter, I mean, you take that every day.
Oh, yeah. You definitely
The Raptors just didn't close out.
I think, you know, that was the part that was encouraging to me is that they made the adjustments defensively. They just, their offense is what's going to be the thing that sinks them. The defense, you don't want to see those moments where the lapses and you're allowing the layups or the easy access to the basket, you know, especially to the rim. But what I saw was also they decided, okay, if we're going to win this game in the fourth, we have to lock them down. And they did exactly that. It's just you can't lock them down without doing it the other way on the offensive side. So, I know Kyle Lowry fouling out doesn't help either, but at the same time, he's just one guy. You know, I think there was other guys Pascal, I think we saw a magnificent effort in game one. Game two, tough to replicate what he did. Like, you're not going to shoot 80% or more from the field. Like, you rarely see that. So I think things like that are going to be... You know, you got to find other ways to get your offense going and not just relying on a guy like Pascal, Fred to knock down impossible shots, although he made some of his open looks. And you just don't want to rely on that. You want to have something that's sustainable. Golden State, in a way, did. They found the, you know, guys to step up when Clay went out. His status is going to be very key, I think, going into game 3.
He was massive in that game. Game two, oh my god, he was killing the Raptors.
Well, it's just the way that the Warriors operate. It's not just one guy. It's a group effort thing.
I mean, it's no surprise. It's not like, oh man, Klay Thompson got hot. Where did that come from? It's Klay Thompson's had, what, 25, 36 point quarters before? Like, the guy can just go off on a snap of a finger. It's just, it's ridiculous. But that's what you're dealing with the Warriors, is they're the most potent offense in the league. But they also haven't faced a defense like the Raptors, I don't think, in the playoffs.
No, they haven't. They haven't faced a defense like the Raptors. I think that's something they are realizing, is, you know, they're trying to figure out what the Raptors' style is. They don't know what it is. They kind of did in game one, and that's why they made the adjustments in game one. But I think in game two, you saw they were better prepared for what the Raptors had to offer. Jake,
what's up?
Now I'm gonna ask you, going into game three, what's something that you're encouraged that the Raptors can do heading into game three that maybe they didn't do in the last game?
So that they can do? I mean, I'd be encouraged the fact that it was a 2-point game down the stretch and you got virtually nothing out of anybody but Kawhi and Fred. That was the only guys. Like Kyle Lowry, he has to completely adjust to the refereeing. Like, the thing that's, I guess, to a fault is that Kyle is just so stubborn, and he needs to stop thinking refs are going to adapt to him, because you have to assume they're morons, because they are. Like, I still have no idea how these fucking refs, these shit refs, are just all put together. Like, he got six fouls way too quickly, and it just takes him out of his rhythm, because he can't, you know, be in rhythm.
Yeah, I'm more worried about staying in the game than actually playing well.
Yeah, exactly. So it got to the point there. And he also had a couple really stupid fouls.
Yeah, I heard the last couple ones. I missed some of the third quarter.
Sixth foul was a foul. Like, he tried to be sneaky and...
Was it a reach-in?
Yeah.
Cousins got a rebound and he didn't see him coming. And he just went over and Boogie moved his hand and he went to slap the ball and he slapped him right on the hand. Oh, it was a foul.
Yeah, I'll live. Oh, crap. Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot. Just hit your shots. I mean, it sounds easier said than done, honestly. I don't know what more you can really say to that point. The Raptors didn't take advantage of the Warriors. Not.
I think you just got to protect the paint. You got to make them hit jump shots. I mean, this is when they're fully healthy, they got three of the most nuclear shooters ever. But right now... They got one, maybe two guys that can consistently hit shots. I mean, fucking Quinn Cook, great. Had a nice little game. He hit back-to-back threes. That's not sustainable.
No.
Make him do that all the time. I mean, did you notice when they played that box plus one defense and he got some open, like, when they make all, they have to do what they did to Milwaukee. They have to turn these catch-and-shoot guys into off-the-dribble shooters. Because the only person that can create his own shot is Steph. I don't even think Klay can create his own shot.
No, he's more catch-and-shoot.
Yeah, he is. Definitely. I think what it also comes down to is you tell the Warriors, we're not letting you in the paint, as you said. You're gonna have to actually take shots. And, you know, I agree with you. Guys that took shots, like, you don't expect them to step up the way they did. Like, Quinn Cook, let's be real here. He's not going to torch the Raptors like he did, you know, in game two. And, you know, I am thinking now, you know, Klay Thompson, if he's dealing with a hamstring injury, that's going to...
Man, that's another thing. Watching him walk out after that game, I have no idea how he's going to be able to play.
Hey, if he wants to play, if I'm the Raptors, you're challenging him.
I'm making him run right off screens. I'm making him move.
Yeah, whoever's on him, just do what Steph Curry does, just running around.
Exactly.
Quick cuts, all that. But cut back door. I mean, that's just making him move laterally on that hamstring. It's not going to be fun.
He's probably not going to be wanting to drive into the basket like he did, you know, in the first two games. So you have to take advantage of that. And look, Kevin Durant is also going to miss game three.
On that, I think he's done until minimum 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I don't see any way he plays.
He was out the other day, though. I did watch a little bit of him shooting around at the Scotiabank Arena.
Was he moving, though?
He was doing mostly, like, just jump shots around the elbow.
Was he jumping?
Not really. Does he jump? Like, how high is his jump on his jump shot?
Pretty good. He gets pretty good.
It's not like Draymond high, though, is it? Like, I know he jumps pretty high.
No, I mean, he's...
It's like the
difference between, like, Steph and Marc Gasol, he's about in the middle.
He was shooting shots, but he definitely wasn't. Yeah, it was probably like a Marc Gasol where he gets maybe like a couple of inches off the ground.
Yeah,
like he wasn't going full on his shot.
Then he's not ready. Like, if he's not able to get up on his shot, then he's not going to be
that
ready.
That was also ahead of game 2, though, and that was the first time he'd been back out on the floor since he was injured, at least as far as I know.
But I think the thing that we always think about how his offense is, it's also defensively, too, because he's got to be able to keep up with guys, and you know, when you have a calf hamstring injury, it's the cuts, it's the, you know, the running, as Jake mentioned, back and forth. You can't, if he's not able to sustain that, he's in trouble. He won't be a factor. And that's
being long is only going to help you so much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think defensively he's kind of overrated because, you know, he is so long and he's so athletic that it allows him to, like, kind of cheat on blocks and steals. He's not, like, an elite on-ball defender.
No.
But, I mean, as I don't know if you saw it, Austin, on the jump, Ramona Shelburne last week was talking about Durant's calf and, like, the importance of a calf for a basketball player and how if this was the regular season, he'd be out months, not weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean...
And, I mean, honestly, if it... It's a little different, I guess, we equate it to hockey, and it's like you want to play through that stuff because of the perception, but, I mean, your legs are everything in basketball, obviously, and you can't screw around with that stuff, especially for Kevin Durant, who's, let's be honest, he's half looking towards the offseason already because the Warriors were favorites coming into the series, so, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, but exactly.
If he can't go, it's not like he's just going to say, I'm going to tough it out. If Kevin Durant is only going to come back if he's going to dominate and be himself.
And if he... I think the only chance is game 7.
Yeah.
I really do. Because that is in what, about
or
a week and a half?
Or if the Warriors are down. Like if it's a 3-2 or something. 3-1, maybe, if that even possibly happens.
I don't see it. That's such a...
No, I see the Raptors.
Such a brutal injury, though. Like a calf. It's not like he's playing with a broken finger. Something you can play through, like if you,
it seems like half the players on each team are playing with broken fingers right now.
He's also in line for probably like $200 million.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is he's how bad do you want to rush back with that kind of money on the table?
I mean, I understand he's probably going to get a lot of money anyway, but what if he like blows out his calf? I mean, and he's out for a year. He's probably not going to get like a 5-year max. Someone's probably going to give him a max, but probably for like 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just too many factors that he's probably thinking about right now. And really, right now, the Warriors haven't been dominated. Like, they haven't been...
I really haven't been impressed watching them play. The only part I've been really impressed with is the passing. I mean, they're ridiculously good passers.
Yeah.
Like, I think I saw a stat on 30 assist games in the playoffs. Or maybe it was 30 assist games in the last 5 regular season and playoffs combined, and they had like 86, and the next closest team was like 17 or something. It was a ridiculous number, and it's just I still can't believe how willing they are to share the ball.
Well, it's not only that. I think what we've come to know of them is when they're open for a shot, they're making the shot. But now, the guys that are open for these shots are not the ones that are you expecting to drain them. I think that...
No, they're not. They're not the elite bench players that they've usually had in the past.
No, like if you're gonna give Quinn Cook or even Iguodala, Alphonso McKinney an open three, I mean,
you take
that chance.
Alphonso fucking McKinney. Quinn Cook can actually make some. So he's probably like if Klay Thompson doesn't play, but it kind of seems like Klay is going to play.
Yeah, I mean, unless he's unable to walk, you would think he's going to at least give him a shot.
He was unable to walk when you watched him walking down the thing. I mean, whatever they put on it, ice spray or something.
It was just ice. He had an ice pack on the back of his hammy.
Did not look good, especially with the fact that they lost another rotation piece and probably their best defensive big, and kept Kevon Looney, their best offensive rebounder. I mean, that's not an insignificant injury either, and he got crushed.
Like that was Lowry, right?
No, it was Kawhi who went right into his chest. And I mean, like some of the fucking Warriors fans just like, this is equivalent to Zaza on Kawhi. It's like, you fucking kidding me? He like got into his body and he hit him. And also bitching and complaining about Danny Green hurting Klay Thompson, even though he extended his own leg to try and draw a foul. Like, what the
The kickout rule is ridiculous, and we dealt with that in the Philadelphia series with Jimmy Butler.
Oh, J.J. Redick does it a lot, too.
Yeah. Just shooters do that. It's just a thing.
I mean,
and it works.
The worst is, like, fucking James Harden. I really hate that rule. I hate the guys that kick out. I think it should be a flagrant foul because it's so dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to expect the refs to actually call those, too.
They seldom do. I mean, I'm a fan of the calls. If you don't let a guy land, like the Zaza rule, you should get a foul for that. But like, gets to a point where, they did a breakdown on James Harden on how he basically takes shots to get fouled, not to hit shots, and it's just like brings your attention. It's like, wow, I would say a lot of these guys are doing this at some point.
It's just the way that they're conditioned. They know how the refs make the calls, and that's how they do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's also a indictment on how trash officiating is in the sport.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'll say is I'm hoping that does not become a factor like it was in game three. Like, look, the first half, it was pretty bad. Second half, it wasn't. I didn't see it to be as bad.
No, it was atrocious in the first half.
So. They called – it wasn't even that the refs were favoring Golden State or anything. I just think it's overall garbage.
Well, how many whistles?
Stop calling some of these ticky-tack fouls on both teams.
Yeah.
It hurt the Raptors more because they had fouls on more important guys. But, like, Jesus Christ. Like, every fucking play they called a foul.
Yeah, and it's not like – it's – yeah, it's the same thing. I don't think it was that they were favoring the Warriors. Some of the foul calls they had were just, like, those would be borderline in the regular season.
Yeah.
And they were calling them like it was nothing in that playoff game.
I actually thought the refs did a pretty good job in the Milwaukee series because they didn't call much. Like, they let them play pretty physical defense.
And I'm not saying it should be, like, prison rules.
No,
like,
of course not.
You should be able to body a guy, but, like, there are some soft calls that were being
I think the one that pissed me off the most was when, like, I think it was in game one when Siakam just went straight up in the air and Steph was, like, 4 feet to his right and he jumped sideways into him and got a shooting foul out of it. I'm there like, like Jeff Van Gundy went nuts over it. I don't know if you guys got to watch the ESPN feed, but Jeff Van Gundy went on a rant basically saying how that should be an offensive foul.
Yeah.
Well, just like when Steph went on the court to celebrate Quinn Cook.
Yeah, what the fuck? I don't know how they didn't call a tech on that.
They had seven guys on the floor. Steph was standing beside Drake.
That's what I thought. At first, and then
I was like, "Oh, why are they still moving?"
And
then
you heard for us up here, Jack Armstrong was just like, "There's seven guys on the court," and I'm like, "What the hell is Jack talking about?" And you
Steph Curry was standing beside Drake after that three.
Yeah.
So, I think the NBA when they made that last 2 minute report, I think hopefully you'll see something kind of change a little bit, unless you see the same crew going into Game Three, which I doubt.
I might not watch the game if I see those three names again. Well, that's just it's
I
such
don't,
a.
I actually don't mind. Like the Raptors have a pretty good track record with what were the refs again?
Tony Brothers,
Malloy, and trying to blank on the third, was it Donovan?
No. I think the Raptors actually have a pretty good record when Tony Brothers is the ref.
Well, it wasn't at the game we watched against Milwaukee at the place. The Tony Brothers was doing pretty well for us.
Yeah, they actually have a pretty solid track record when he is
I'm not saying that I don't want to see those three because they're screwing the Raptors, because that's just not the case. The Raptors,
it is awful.
The Raptors that like, game, it, yeah. It's like, just they're so bad. In general.
Like, maybe it was Scott Foster. Who is it?
It was Scott Foster.
Brothers
and Malloy.
Like, Scott Foster is full-on, like, a corrupt fucking clown. Yeah. Like, he has run-ins with fucking everybody.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. Poorly reffed games. And it's not one team or the other. The Raptors didn't lose that game because the refs screwed them, like some fans want to believe. But... Yeah.
They lost because they couldn't fucking score a basket.
Yeah, they couldn't do the core principle of basketball, which is score more points than the other team.
Yeah, I got a tweet here that will help potentially. I don't know. NBA referees bringing back real-time interaction for Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow. So this is from Brian Windhorst yesterday. For the first time, they will tweet out camera angles not available to TV broadcasts via replay center. Fans and NBA players, execs, or owners can send questions to the official NBA refs Twitter account or use hashtag RefWatchParty.
You know when you're refereeing so atrocious that they have to do in real time reviews of your crap calls?
and fan questions.
That's going to get out of control. Raptors fans are going to abuse that service.
Warriors fans, too.
Oh, yeah. This is the wrong matchup to be testing people asking the ref account questions during games. Oh, I'm gonna be scoping out that account all day.
Some of the ratios on some of those tweets.
Oh, they're pretty bad if you look.
It's gonna. I know. I've seen a tidbit of some of them.
So good. You been on about anything recently, Skip Bayless? I haven't checked his Twitter.
No, I completely tune him out.
Cool.
When they lost, and I think he said Kawhi who had 36. He said he had like a C-minus game, and Shannon was just like, "Shut the fuck up."
C-minus is nearly a triple double.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking?
Skip. Absolute clown.
I mean, it was good when I think Joe Jackson said it best. He's like, "You got a little hate in your blood." he's like, "No, I don't." He's like, "I'm always fair." He's like, "Come on."
Not at all.
Stop lying.
Never, ever fair to that man.
It's just so bad because he gets called out by literally every fucking player that goes on the thing.
Kawhi Leonard would quite literally cure cancer, and Skip Bayless would be upset about it.
Yeah, somebody said that. I'm pretty sure.
It's just, stop being a little baby about it. Get over it. Your guy left. It is what it is. He didn't even leave. He got traded. You got another player for him.
Snoop Dogg also say, like San Antonio was really bad with how they handled the situation?
Yeah, when he was just like, "Have you ever talked to Kawhi?" And he's like, "Well, no, I haven't." He's like, "Because I have."
Big shocker.
And Skip just like stopped talking for a solid like 3 minutes.
He's been shut down by every single.
To be honest, he's not the one. I just completely disregard anything he says now. The one that annoys me the most is because he's on post and halftime is fucking Paul Pierce. Like, holy shit.
He's chirping the like, fans mid game.
No, he literally said yesterday. I don't know if you saw his piece on SVP. He was like, basically saying it's done and they didn't want it enough. It's like, yeah, Paul, they didn't want the game enough in the fucking NBA Finals, you dumbass.
Even the guys...
No, he said their confidence is broken.
Okay. Oh,
even the guys on First Take, Stephen A. and Max, who are paid to make ridiculous statements, said that both of them said it had nothing to do with who wanted it more that game. All the bullshit that people come up with for an excuse as to why a team didn't win. It had nothing to do with the Raptors not wanting to win. It came down to execution.
Yeah. I actually think Stephen A has been pretty decent up here. Maybe
today he said that the Warriors would smoke them in game three, and that the Warriors can basically decide whether they want to win in Toronto or in Oakland. He said that for the championship. Well, so
technically, Stephen A was very calm in Toronto. He didn't make any of those statements.
Technically, he's back in the States now.
He kind of plays to the crowd, which I don't mind. Yeah.
He was not playing to the Toronto crowd at all.
If you're listening to him for basketball insight, that's not the place to go. You listen for him to be entertained.
Yeah, exactly.
And he is entertaining.
He was not playing to the Toronto crowd at all, so I've been able to work behind the scenes on First Take the last couple days, and man, he's just been the ultimate heel to the Toronto fans.
This is a guy that's picked, what, 7 of the 8 finals winners wrong? Like, how do you even do that? Like, we've seen, what, fucking 2 dynasties in a row? How do you pick 7 of 8 wrong?
So if you watch any of the shows coming up in the series for First Take, the producers, before they go on air and before Stephen A shows up, they tell them to start chanting Spicy P because he hates the nickname. So like 3 or 4 times an episode, they'll just chant Spicy P. So if you hear that, it's just rattling Stephen A.
Why would he hate that?
He just thinks it's whack.
Yeah, it's because he's from Africa.
It's because he's from Africa.
I mean, that's why. It's his nickname, right?
I know.
Yeah, and he does the, like, salsa dancing. Spicy.
Does he? I have honestly no idea. That's just a guess of mine of why that's his nickname.
Well,
I'm pretty sure it was the Raptors that started that nickname.
It was the teammates.
So, he also did the one thing that I've been complaining about quite a bit, which is fans not being in their seats at the start of the quarter.
He hit the nail on the head there, honestly.
You know,
I mean, they don't tell him about the whole thing with MLSC and the suit sitting in the Platinums and whatnot, which is fine, but that's what it was.
Also, I hear, this is from Overdrive, they're talking about how the ACC, basically, they don't have the correct amount of bathrooms.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's not. It is very, you know, you see the lines after any quarter or any, even in hockey too. You see the lineups and you just go, holy crap.
There's less than 10 washrooms on each of the concourses per gender.
It's pretty bad. It is not the best setup. I mean, look, I remember when I went to Fenway Park, they had better. So, like, the lineup was not ridiculous at Fenway Park. And that ballpark was built in, what, the 20s, the 30s?
Like, might have been earlier.
So,
it's a long fucking time.
So, it's ancient, is the point of that.
Like, it's inexcusable that, you know, it takes that long. If I'm a fan, honestly, this is what I do. Last couple minutes of a quarter or of a period, I'm going down and I'm getting it done then.
Yeah. Honestly, go beat the lines. It's not something people don't do enough. They want to catch the end of the quarter or the end of the period. It's like, what is the difference? Another 5 or 10 points combined? Like, get up early and go do your thing and then come back. You have the entire half to sit there and do nothing.
Well, it's not only that. They go to do their business, then they go to get a drink after.
Well, the issue with the, I'm assuming he's talking about the 100 level, is that they have the suites that go underneath the Platinums, and everyone goes down there and drinks liquor in between periods or quarters during hockey or basketball games. So that's where you get
the
Platinum suits.
So his issue was halftime, so that would have been halftime, because they don't have the breaks during intermission of basketball each quarter. So I give him, you know, it's something that's peeved me in. You know, it happens more so during Leaf games. It's pretty brutal.
And it's more obvious during Leaf games. You don't really see it for the Raptors games because it's in close.
Exactly.
No, I've noticed it all postseason.
Okay.
Like, I definitely remembered it from the Philly series, because I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, they're getting slaughtered right now.
Yeah.
And
they're basically playing in
the building open helps. Gym. You can help them.
Of course.
So I think
It's not going to change because people's like they asked one guy who on the new on I think it was City TV up here. They said, "Did you hear? Did you go to the bathroom during half? Did you miss like the opening of the court?" The guy's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Are you going to change strategy next time?" No. Like people, there's people who honestly don't care. They don't understand what the role of a fan is to be sometimes.
I just don't understand how you could spend like $1,000 Canadian on a ticket and miss like 5 minutes of game action.
Yeah, it kills me. Especially the people who leave early to go catch a GO train or to go catch a... Look, if you're going to a game, you're planning to be there from beginning. You should be planning from beginning to end. If you're spending all that money and then, especially in an NBA game, the last 3 minutes, oh, I got to head out. Pretty much, what are you buying the ticket for? Just watch it at home then. That kills me. That stuff like that does annoy the hell out of me. But it's never going to change. It's the way the culture is. In the States, Jake, I will admit, people are in their seats or they're standing. Oh, it's the standing too can be pretty bad. Like when they stand up in football for every play, it's like, guy.
No, I'm not about that.
No.
I could never stand for an entire game. That was the worst part about like college basketball, being in a fan section, or college hockey. You just have to stand all the time.
Well, Jake, I went to TFC a week and a half ago.
Soccer too.
In the TFC in the supporter section. Because I was sitting up above the supporter section, everyone's standing up, and the people in front of me who are not a part of the supporter section were standing up, and I'm like, just sit your ass down. You have an actual seat. You can see it perfectly. And then I had to stay. Look, I don't mind standing, but if I have to stand for a whole soccer match,
I mean, that's why they have those freestanding things, and a lot of big clubs have them where you can. Basically, it's like a bar in front of you. It's like a little foldable seat down. Yeah. If you want to sit, and if not, you got like a railing you can lean on at least.
Yeah, like TFC, they don't have that. It's a bench with seats on it. So it's like you either sit or you're standing. You have nothing to lean on. You have nothing to comfort yourself. It's bullshit. So I hate when people do that. And Bills fans are pretty bad at that. In Buffalo, they're standing, especially at the beginning of the game, because that's when the only time the Bills have a chance to win. And so they're all standing up at the beginning, and then it's like, guys, sit your asses down. This game's going to be 3 hours long.
So, yeah. Well, it's not more anywhere worse than it is at the ACC or Scotiabank when the Leafs are playing. Let's be honest.
Although playoffs is just a little different. Although playoffs
a little different.
So, with that being said, I think we've beaten this Raptor stuff to death. Let us move on to the Leafs, because normally we would
off-season sideshow.
I think this has been more so. I haven't seen as many leaks. Like these are leaks, minus the Zaitsev one, because Zaitsev one was actually Dubas addressing it. But I have never seen so many leaks come out of the Leafs camp. We'll call it the camp or the Leafs front office.
Yeah.
In a really long time. Like
since Nonis was in charge.
Which leaks in particular?
Well, okay, the first sights of one. Usually you'll hear the team will address it.
That a leak though? He had an interview in Russia.
Well, at first it was Bob McKenzie had tweeted that out. And then the article came out in Russia, I think. I think it was maybe we didn't get the news from Russia first. And then he saw that and he reported it based off that. I'm not too sure. But, that's where it became really official when he put up, man, I'd love to put Nikita Zaitsev and Don Cherry in a room.
Just oh my see god! There's not a single thing that Nikita Zaitsev said in that interview that was wrong, though.
No.
No, it wasn't. Like, But it's Don Cherry's opinion that goes to the fans.
Which it shouldn't. I don't listen to him at all.
Yeah. Oh, I meant about his comment about the one where he was talking about Muzzin showing up, and then he was like almost immediately a martyr.
Oh yeah, no, like Leafs
fans. It's true, but I actually don't think it's just from Leafs fans. I think it's from other fans too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, I think Muzzin. Yeah, like there were people who were like, who thought Muzzin was gonna be Bobby Orr or something. Like,
what was it the game after they acquired him, the Leafs, one of the games after they acquired them, they lost.
Detroit.
And what was it? All these, yeah, like a week after the trade, they lost a game, and all the Toronto Uncle Society got together and was like, oh, I bet that pick the Leafs gave up is going to turn into a lottery now. The Kings just hit the jackpot. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Then they probably had an orgasm because he hit somebody.
Yeah, oh, honestly. Exactly. Like,
remember Too soft, can't win playoff games.
So I wrote
a thing. Too soft for the big bad Bruins, even though we out-hit them like every fucking game.
I wrote a thing at the end of May, and I just remembered this now, and it was, I think it was the Marlowe thing, and we can jump to that if you want. But I mentioned, without mentioning Mr. Number 29, you shall not be named in fear of Toronto Uncles getting angry at me. I haven't checked the comments on that yet. Should I?
No.
I said, don't talk about number 29 when I'm talking about the Leafs shedding cap space in a trade. And I'm worried about reading the comments on that.
Yeah, probably not going to be good.
There's going to be some insightful takes.
It's like trying to turn a Republican into a Democrat or vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
You can say fucking borderline anything. They'll never, ever change their opinion.
William Nylander could cure cancer. And Leafs fans would still hate him.
No, okay. I think that's about it.
Yeah.
I think, actually, here's the only thing that happens that would do it. So, Game 7, Cup Final, they're playing Winnipeg. Mark Scheifele coming down the ice. William Nylander across the ice. Clean body check. Knocks him unconscious. Hits him so hard. Takes it through five guys end-to-end. Got Bufflin on his shoulder, uses his arm to push him away, then he drives hard to the net and scores 5-hole for the Leafs.
They'd be like,
still paid too damn much, $10 million a year.
You know what he needs to do, just off the opening draw of the season, put him and Matthews out, drop him, the first guy he sees. Yeah. What do you do, Toronto Uncles?
They would kill themselves.
Then it would be, he's not being paid $10 million to sit in the penalty box, God damn it.
Yeah.
God damn it, we need more, what's the fucking clown Dracula? That's on the Bruins fourth line? We need more Sean Corrales, Noel Acharis.
Give me Joakim Nordstrom.
One thing I will say, though, the Bruins, watching the way they play, their top guys have not been very good. Like, they were good in Game 3. They've been pretty crap. Like, Charlie Coyle.
I don't know. I haven't been impressed with their... The only players that I've been impressed with for the Bruins... I mean, Rask, obviously. He's been fucking unbelievable. He's the only reason. I think they would have gotten swept if they didn't have him. Okay, maybe they'd be down 3-1.
I'm kind of happy for him because the amount of just crapping the Bruins do on that guy.
I know. It's pathetic. Charlie Coyle, I'm really impressed with. Dan Heinen, really impressed with. And Brandon Carlo and Charlie McAvoy, because their defense right now is shit.
But they play those guys quite a bit, like McAvoy.
Yeah. Dude. How many minutes Carlo had. He might have 31 minutes the other night.
He's a good – I like Carlo a lot.
Carlo, Krug, and –
McAvoy.
McAvoy are really good. The rest are trash.
Well, Chara has a broken one of those big guys that
just... Chara is horrible. I mean, he just can't move. Like, they're like, Big Z, it's like, yeah, you see they fucking just skate right around his ass? I mean, who's the other guy? It's like, Matt Grizzlick, like, come on.
He takes a holding or interference call on almost every other possession. Or possession.
Oh, he can't play anymore. Like, he just can't. It was like watching Dwayne Wade play in the NBA now. It's like, He can't guard anybody. He can't score.
When Kapanen was on the ice against him, he just felt bad for him.
Oh, no. He just fucking skates circles around them.
Yeah.
You're like, Jesus Christ, man.
Anyhow, I don't know how we got on the Bruins.
But
Nylander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's bring us back to the talks, though. I mean, Zaitsev, I think, is right with some of those comments he's made.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't want to be in Toronto the way he's treated.
No,
it's not his fault.
The way he's treated is not his fault.
No, it is. I mean, he's been shit. Let's be honest.
His play is his fault. Yes. But yeah, people getting upset at him for the Leafs giving him money is not his fault.
No.
The term in the average value is not on him.
No, but his play is an issue. Yeah.
Fine. You can blame his play, and I mean, in hindsight, the contract.
I also don't think people would be complaining if he was making $2 million.
Yeah, exactly. No. If he's making, like, who's made $2 million?
Ainsley.
Well,
Polak or someone.
Yeah, like if he was like making Roman Polak money, I'd have no problem with the way he plays.
Actually, well, we kind of shredded Polak too. So
yeah, I shredded Polak.
Well, we shredded Polak for the same reason we shred Zaitsev, though.
Yeah,
their decision making. Polak versus Zaitsev.
But yes. Zaitsev also, I think, helped his value, and they said it during the playoffs a lot when they paired him with Muzzin. All right. He looked serviceable.
He just can't play the puck.
No, he's
And yeah, he wants to be a power play guy.
Not going to happen.
He had 12 points this season. How the fuck does he want to play on the power play?
I don't remember.
Are you going to manage that?
I was trying to watch him during the World Championship, and like the goals he scored, I'm just like, nah, I don't see it.
He scored?
Yeah, he did.
He did score one, yeah.
I think he scored three, actually, but one was an empty net, I think.
Well, he was also the number one D-man on Russia, which is a sad statement.
Oh, yeah. Russia's
the best Russian. Who's the best Russian defenseman in the world right now?
Well, the best Russian defenseman is either Sergachev or Voinov, but he's not allowed anywhere.
Or Orlov is pretty decent.
Yeah, Orlov's a good player. Oh, sorry, I meant Voinov. Voinov's a piece of shit.
Yeah, we all know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not news to anybody, but he was a good defenseman before he became a piece of human trash.
So
he was a right-handed shot. Do you imagine how much money he would have made if he wasn't a complete dickhead?
Oh, yeah. Montreal would be... Apparently, which team was it that was trying to trade for him?
If he was reinstated, some team would just throw the moral code out the window to have him.
Yeah, I could see that.
I actually wouldn't mind if it was us, to be honest. Yeah,
morality goes out the window when it comes to the line.
We knowing who our GM is, that is not happening.
No, there's zero chance. But
it's like Glenn Sather was still in with like the cigarette.
I just keep remembering him playing, and it's like, fuck, he's so fucking good.
He won the Kings of Cup.
Oh, he was so good. He was so good. He would be making like $7 million.
I hope he doesn't get reinstated, but let's be honest, he will. Like, he's going to.
I don't think so. I think he will. The NHL has been pretty hard on that.
Didn't they just suspend him another season?
Yeah. Well, he appealed to get back in the league, and they denied it.
Why?
A couple weeks ago.
I don't understand why he'd be working this hard to get back in the league. He probably would make decent money in the Russian league.
He's got
to
be playing in the KHL.
Who does he play for? He's got to be playing for SK or CSK or something like that.
Let me look it up.
Yeah. I think for him, it's the NHL. I think he just felt like he saw Kovalchuk go back and make the money he did. The Russian money's not bad, but I for some of the guys that are, I think he sees his value as a defenseman.
He's playing for SKA.
Yeah.
Datsyuk and Kovalchuk.
So the best team in the league.
Yeah.
So he probably makes pretty good coin.
Yeah.
Not bad. But Zaitsev, I mean, yeah, he had under 30 points the last two seasons combined. He hasn't played well enough, and that's just what it is. And if he was making less and he wasn't playing in the top four, I doubt anyone would be complaining.
I mean, with that said, though, he's still drawing pretty good interest.
Oh, my God. That's what I was gonna say. Some of the things that came out today, we've been talking about.
Vancouver was one.
Vancouver seems like they'd do it tomorrow.
Apparently Carolina's another one, I heard.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
They're saying Kapanen and Zaitsev for one of Hamilton, Pesci, or Falk? Okay.
I mean, Falk has 1 year left. Probably wouldn't do that, but the other two, yeah, easily.
Yeah, I'd do Hamilton for Kapanen and Zaitsev. A cap dump and Pesci. Or Pesci, yeah, absolutely. But I'm saying Pesci would probably take more than Hamilton, I would think, especially with what was rumored of Hamilton's rep in the locker room. I don't know if it's changed.
Well, I don't know if it's Carolina's locker room, though. I think that's more so what happened in Calgary. Just a
perception.
Well, okay, but this is the thing I don't get about the Zaitsev thing. Well, actually, no, I kind of do. Remember, Austin, when you and I had CJ on, and we were talking about Zaitsev being one of those contracts he would probably have to move, and CJ said that there's considerable interest in him around the league. I think teams...
Yeah, and at the time, you sort of laugh it off. It's like, sure.
Look, if I'm the Leafs, I wrote about this. I mean, I didn't think Vancouver would be interested because of the position they're in, but they seem to like these... guys who they can get locked up long term for some reason, like Jay Beagle and all those. But I look at a team like Dallas. They took two of the Leafs' right handed shots in Carrick and Polak to try to get their right side.
Why not try for three?
That's what I was saying.
Third
time's a charm, buddy. We got it. You got it this time. We wouldn't.
Klingberg, Zaitsev next season. Let's make it happen.
Oh yeah, Heiskanen and Zaitsev.
Now that would make me very sad, considering how good Heiskanen is.
Heiskanen and Klingberg are studs. Oh my god.
Actually, probably be Heiskanen and Lindell.
Too. And they got Esa Lindell, who's a pretty good player.
When he's not diving.
Yeah, like I don't know what the fuck that was.
I don't know. It's that, and it's Marlowe, and it's like just everything's coming out.
Yeah, I saw he put his property up for sale in Toronto.
Yeah.
If they can somehow get rid of them, those two guys and Connor Brown, and even if they take back, like, I don't know, fucking Trevor Lewis or someone like that who's got 2 years, Lewis. 2 years and $2 million, if they can cut 12, 10 million off their cap, that would be amazing. Because I think with that, they could go out and spend some money in the free agent department.
So
and they're gonna need to because
they need a defenseman, they need a backup goalie, and they need a left winger.
Yeah.
Is it honestly? I think it's possible that Hainsey comes back and you find somebody better to play on the first pair, but you put Hainsey on the third with Dermott.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, that just makes sense.
Yeah, nobody was complaining about Hainsey when he played third pair. I wouldn't. I would have him back on a third pairing.
So this is the thing, though. When we look at the Marlowe stuff, I find it very intriguing that the leaks that came. I mean, I know Pierre LeBrun has that connection in L.A., although he used to be with Dean Lombardi. So I don't know if it's just he's kept that with the L.A. Front office staff, but it has really helped the Leafs. Like. I think partially the Leafs had that conversation with Marlowe being like, buddy, you're like this, we can't have you next season. Like,
yeah.
If he's selling his property, that's basically him and the team coming to an understanding.
I mean, we all knew it was going to be bad. We knew the circumstances about him signing that deal. Let's not kid ourselves. Well, I mean, it was going to be bad the third year, but you were paying him for the first 2 years where you aren't going to be in cap trouble. So this was always the scenario, I think.
Yeah.
I think Lou would have tried to keep him around, honestly, if he was still here.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think so, too.
He would have done something dumb to try and keep the veteran around, like trading trading Kapanen and Johnsson or something to avoid paying them. Something dumb like that.
So this is my question now. Where do you see Marlowe going? I think it's either L.A. or Arizona, personally. And do you think they can actually get something in return? I know, Jake, you're saying just get rid of the contract, but do the Leafs even try to get something in return that's feasible? Because Patrick Marlowe could, by all accounts, in the right situation, get 20 to 25 goals.
Yeah, that's possible.
Marlowe?
Yeah.
Stop.
Just stop. Didn't he have 27 last year?
The first year he had 27.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's possible. It's that could just be a one-off the year, but I mean,
I think
at part his age, it could just be regression.
Part of it was also he played with Mitch pretty much all season in that first time. So
yeah. He's just fucking done.
Yeah, like he can't. He needs offensive guys to help him out. Like he can't play third line minutes in a third line role and expect to produce like a $6 million player. Doesn't work like that.
I think it's also a thing where it's just like at some point next season, if Marlowe was still on this team, he would have had that Iron Man streak snapped.
I mean, I think it got to the point where the Leafs GM, I hope they did this, but they just said, I mean, we love you, and if you're gonna stay here, you can't be playing every fucking game. Like he looked dead tired at the end. It basically was like he showed up without and played without a stick. It was basically like that.
We saw his stick, and we were wondering if that was actually a stick.
The three piece, except they take the when they sell it at the Leafs store at Real Sports, they take the wooden top off of it because the top of the stick's wood as well.
Still, he looked fucking done.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I mean, he you can just better replace him with so many better players.
Just even guys who can provide in other areas. Like a Trevor Moore, yeah, he's not going to score a lot of goals, but he can. I mean, we saw him play for the Marlies. He's a guy that can do other things for you. A guy like
he's probably like his peak, I think, is like a third line player, yeah. But
that's what we needed. We needed a guy on that third line that could, you know, provide something. I mean, he was fourth line, but when you have Frederick Gauthier, I mean, that was a disaster too.
Gauthier can't be the fourth line center next season.
They should be looking at a guy. I don't know who's out there, but a guy that can play, who's a little more versatile, that can play center and wing. Like I think that's why they liked Paul Lindholm. But
Pierre Engvall.
This is my issue with it. You're asking a guy who is playing center.
He's a winger. You definitely shouldn't be playing him down the middle unless you're really strapped.
Well, that's
needs to be
And people
and there's not many good centers in free agency. The only two that realistically I thought would play third or fourth line center, I mean, probably wouldn't even do that, was Ryan Dzingel. Pretty good player, I thought. And the other guy was Brandon Tanev on Winnipeg. I think he was their fourth line center. Fourth or third.
Well, he got pushed down. He got pushed down when Hayes got traded there. So
he's a pretty good player. That's a guy who I would go for.
Davey Bolin's a free agent, boys.
Oh, boy.
Davey Bolin.
Can he even
Jason
walk?
Spezza is also a name that got thrown around as like a 1 million option or something.
Who's that?
Jason Spezza is like a really cheap option.
No, pass.
He can't. He
fourth
can't,
line, though.
He won't be able to defend.
That's just not his role, though.
No, he wants to go to. He wants to go and. He's probably going to go. I could see him going back to Ottawa. Or staying in Dallas.
If you're getting a guy that's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, don't put him in a fourth line role. It's just. It's not going to go well. It's never going to work.
He's going to want out like as soon as he plays like the first week, first couple weeks.
Why would he agree to that, though?
No, he wouldn't.
Why? Yeah. Like, what?
So, that's something I'm going to have to research and just really look at. But, the Leafs need guys. Like, look, Nylander, Babcock didn't trust him to play center. It was apparent. So, if you need to account for potentially not having a second or third line center during the year that you can have somebody step in.
If they're really strapped, they could go to Nick Mattan, but I think Babcock really proved during the regular season that
somebody
he doesn't
want
looked him.
Up who's an RFA that I'd be interested in perhaps trading for is actually Oscar Sundquist. He's RFA this summer. I think the biggest thing that they need out of a fourth line center is they need a guy that can fucking kill penalties.
Yeah, they have the fact that Gauthier, who is supposed to be really good on the draws, could not play the penalty kill. I think that says a lot of...
The fact that the Leafs don't have a center that plays on the penalty kill is not good.
No. Tavares is not that. He's not... Tavares is not a Patrice Bergeron where you can put him in that situation.
No.
And Matthews is like...
No, he should never be playing penalty kill. No. I still don't like the idea of Marner playing on the penalty kill, but I mean, it's not the worst idea because it seems a lot of teams do that. Like Boston does it a lot.
I was gonna say it just puts
a lot of pressure on the team that's on the power play because they have to think about what they're gonna do shorthanded.
Yeah. I'm just quickly doing a search here on cap friendly of.
Centers?
Yeah, on centers. I'm gonna cry in a second here.
Please. I don't know. I'm more worried about the defense. I don't think that Sandin or Liljegren really need to start the season. Some people are gonna be upset that I'm saying that, but so be it.
They shouldn't.
Liljegren's played half a season in his first two pro years. Another year with the Marlies or half a year won't hurt him. And Sandin was fantastic this season, but it's going to be the same thing as Liljegren. They're going to take their time with him.
As they should.
Yeah. You shouldn't rush a guy, especially a guy that's not even going to be 20 years old by the end of next season. I think I have that right. Maybe not. He'll be 20, but...
This is going to be some really slim picking here, boys.
Yeah, center depth is horrible. Outside of, like, Duchene.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Like,
never in the conversation with.
Colin Wilson... Marcus Johansson.
Yeah. Marcus Johansson's a winger, too.
He's playing wing right now.
Yeah, like, they have Tyler Ennis down as a center on that list. It's just, like, guys that took a shift at center.
Or took a draw.
Yeah.
They list you as a center on cap friendly.
I'm just also trying to look at guys that played more than 30 games in the season. That's enough.
I'm telling you, the best option is Brandon Tanev.
Yeah.
It's a great look. But...
I think they're gonna have to be a little creative to fill that hole. I think when you look at the Marlowe stuff, I think a lot of this is gonna be after July 1st. They're gonna pay their bonuses and then you're gonna see them gone.
Yep.
This is the only thing I think people are saying, it could be done soon. No, why would a team agree to pay for their bonuses? They're taking on that contract. Like Arizona, you tell Arizona, we're going to pay him.
Unless you're going to get like a better return for it.
Yeah, and you probably would.
There's no reason why it would make sense for the Leafs to do that.
Well, I mean, they did that with Bernier, right? They paid that signing bonus just to get rid of him to Anaheim. They've done it in the past, and they will do it, I think.
And they'll continue to do it.
So I think they only do it if the return's right. Either you do it at the draft or you do it right after July 1. So that's where I think that happens. I know, Austin, you have some news about some Canadian team won a championship tonight.
The Buys won one. The good old Newfoundland Growlers won the Kelly Cup tonight. They beat the Toledo Walleye.
Did they actually get the real...
No, they didn't.
Oh, I have no idea. Oh, yeah, they got the cup.
I did
see a video. So I don't know if I sent this to you guys. The ECHL didn't get the cup back. And I guess for anybody that isn't watching, the Colorado Eagles last year won the Kelly Cup, which is the ECHL championship. But they were promoted to the AHL to be Colorado's affiliate for this season. And they never gave the ECHL back the physical cup. So there's this big thing that's blown up during the series about them not having a physical cup to give the team. But the ECHL announced a couple days ago that they actually made a duplicate.
Yeah, they made another trophy. So it's not the actual one that Colorado won was supposed to get back, but
it was
another one.
They're still trying to get it back from Colorado. That's how they ended the statement.
Such a weird situation.
It's so hockey it hurts, that whole scenario.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Love our sport. Jesus, what a joke.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they beat Toledo. I think it was 6 games. That sounds right. They won 4-1 tonight, I believe. And, not too bad. I don't know. Admittedly, I don't know a whole lot about the team. I know Semyon Dragichintsev plays down there, Leafs third-rounder from last summer.
Well, your boy Jacob, J.J. Pikanich, plays down there too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, it's a team that's going to get a lot more exciting because Dubas has said he's going to use it as more of a developing ground rather than just guys the organization doesn't know what to do with, which is what most ECHL teams are.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that too.
Like fringe guys. Like, I thought the Leafs, before they traded Fedor Gurdjieff, I thought they might sign him and just let him develop in the E next year, but they got a pick out of him, so whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm not mad.
No, you can't be.
But yeah, I mean, good for them. The Marlies didn't get a cup this year, and the Leafs certainly didn't. But I mean, the organization's still winning at some level, so that's a strong sign.
Yep. Now it's just really time for the Leafs to start winning. That's what. This is my thing. It's good. It's good to celebrate these things, but it means nothing if your big club's not winning it.
Can we branch the Raptors and the Leafs together for a sec?
Sure.
Why am I drawing a blank on who said this? Oh, Jesus. It might have been somebody said, I feel like it's one of the ESPN people that I've been working with the last, said I'm going to butcher this. It was something along the lines of, if Leaf fans could say the Raptors left the city for good in order to get the Leafs in the cup, they would do it.
Yeah. A lot of teams would do that. A lot of cities would do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, not giving up shit. I don't, as much as I love the Leafs, I'm not giving up the Raptors and what they have done.
I wouldn't, but a lot of people would.
I know people that, yeah. There are Leafs fans right now who are actually envious. Like, they're actually like hating on the Raptors because people are like, fuck the Raptors. Like, there's actual Leaf fans who actually can't stand the Raptors.
Another team. Leaf fans really do enjoy that, eh? Between Nylander and the Raptors, just crapping on people.
They're not fans. That's the thing I hate the most, is when they're just like, I'm a fan. It's like, no, you're not. What kind of fan basically wishes one of their own players to fucking fail? Like, what?
And not just
like
that.
I always say that in an argument. They're just like, well, he's overpaid. I'm like, well, guess what? There's no fucking magic do-over button. Get the fuck over it.
It's like
we paid him.
The thing I always go back to.
It's like,
to
you know that ugly bitch that you fucked? It happened. There's no comeback. Oh, wait, that's your wife now?
The thing I always go back to with this, for people that are like, I can't believe you held out negotiations. It's like, okay, so if your job lowballed you on your next contract offer, you just take it.
No. None of these fucking blowjobs are giving money back, by the way. They're just like, that's the thing that annoys me so much, is when people are just like, oh, I have no idea about the situation, but I'm going to couch somebody else's buddy. It's like, shut the fuck up.
And also people that are like, I pay concessions so I can say whatever I want about Nylander.
Your money is literally irrelevant.
Your foot-long hot dog is paying for William Nylander's contract?
No, it's not.
Fuck off.
Can I interject here and say, I've seen these Leafs fans that have said fuck me. Like,
I see them. They're in the comments of every single piece I write.
No, not in the comments. I've seen these guys at games. Oh. Literally say it to my face.
I don't go to those things, Dave. I don't have big bucks like you.
Well, I didn't pay for this game.
No.
Literally, this lady was just like, fuck Nylander. And I'm like looking at her. I didn't say anything. I'm like, I'm not getting into this. She's like, if he wanted to be here, he would be here. And then, you know, you hear about, oh, he doesn't act like a Leaf. He's not like the Leafs in the past. I'm like, well, guess what? The Leafs we worshipped in the past couldn't get the job done either. So maybe it's time we try something different, you dumb fucks.
Wendell Clark was a great player.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic player. That was the Leafs' best chance to win.
He wasn't offered $6.9 million a year.
I also am also a person that I don't believe in discounts. That just doesn't exist.
No, you go get your money.
People think
That's the thing. I'm just like, why would I take a discount? Somebody else can make a decision on my money. Like, if I'm taking a discount, I'm saying where it's going. I'm not gonna let you pay Nikita Zaitsev 7 years, $5 million, or Patrick Marleau 6 years to score fucking 4 goals.
Yeah, Nylander's not taking a cut off of his contract.
He's also
for them
a guy who's
sign
never
Connor
made
Brown.
Money. He's never made money.
No. But well, like,
but they think because his dad played, he's spoiled. He doesn't like. He's not his dad. his dad was nor close to the talent level his of William.
And I don't want to take shots here, but his brother Alex is having a tough time cracking the Sabres full time, and he was drafted 3 years ago.
And people thought he was the better one.
Yeah, William said that he's better than me. It's like, imagine like the pressure that his brother's under just to crack an NHL roster. I think you'd rather be him at this point.
I mean, I've also quietly said I would love if the Leafs went out and tried to get the brother.
Oh my God, he and Alex together. Buffalo needs to have him up on the roster full time because he's so good. They're just not giving him a shot.
Buffalo needs to get out of their own way. And
I've gotten to watch him when the Rochester plays the Marlies. He's ridiculous.
They're all just hopeless.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what it is? It's just
they rush guys.
Yeah. Oh, Buffalo for sure. Their AHL team could be so
like
good.
They rushed fucking Mittelstadt too. He's fucking like 105 pounds.
Yeah. And Nylander, it's not that they're not taking their time with him. They've tried to rush him up, and then he hasn't been perfect, so they just bounce him in between the NHL and AHL.
Yeah, they've done the Kadri.
And then they trade their only actual good pieces, Ryan O'Reilly, for more younger pieces.
Yeah.
Not established guys.
Because he said he's sick of losing. No shit.
Because there's no team built. You have a good guy like Ryan O'Reilly. You have a good guy like Jack Eichel. And then what's around them? Dog crap.
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's why Sabres fans are clamoring. Like, they're like begging to sign Skinner because they have nothing. Who do they have?
Yeah, that's gonna be a bad mistake.
It will be.
Skinner might end up helping the Marner negotiations, or are they just gonna stay put?
I'm a believer. I don't think any negotiation is the same.
Yeah.
No.
Especially UFA to RFA, there's no correlation.
Absolutely not. Because the UFA can say, you don't want to pay me this? Bye.
RFA. And if the RFA is like, you're not going to pay it, like, what am I going to do? It's like, fine, you can sit out.
The closer we get to RFA and all that, like, he can negotiate on the 26th. We're, what, 3 weeks away from that?
Ye were 21 days. Yeah, 3 weeks.
Yeah, so he wants
to do that. I would love to see what Leafs fans have to say because he was the golden child. Marner,
is this your king, Leaf fans? Because Nylander stayed. Nylander took a goddamn discount to stay with this team, and you raked him over the coals for it.
Well, Nylander basically signed. He just. Look, Nylander didn't go out and say, "Oh, we'll go look for offer sheets. We'll go negotiate for other teams."
I'll wait till I got to see it to believe it.
Yeah,
I still think this whole thing is a joke. I don't see any fucking way he does any of that.
If Mitch Marner was smart, there should be no leak. No, his name should not be mentioned in the radio from now until he's close to signing.
I just don't know why they keep talking. It's not helping.
You're giving Darren Ferris and Paul Marner way too much credit. Somebody's going to blab before then.
Well, then, you know what? But this is what kills me. Mitch, you want to make the amount of money of a big-time player like Austin Matthews? Start acting like a player like Austin Matthews, which is Austin Matthews' dad plays a role, but it's a behind-the-scenes role. He's not up in front. Yeah.
He's
got
to tell his dad to cut it out. He's a grown up.
He also has to realize, like, I know he's got that little. I still don't think it's him. I think it's his dad. He's got that complex.
Yeah,
like
small person complex.
That article that he thinks he's like McDavid. It's like, you're very good. You're not that.
Well, I love
your confidence in yourself, but you just won't be that because you're not a center.
Did you hear?
And I know Darren Dreger's been carrying water for him, just being like, well, why not? It's like, because. There's a premium on center ice positions, and also scoring goals is more important than getting assists.
It is. And Jeremy Roenick was spot on.
Yeah, he said $9 million is the max he would go, which is I've said that I'm fine with 9.5, but
I said 9.5 is fine. Like, but Jeremy Roenick was spot on in saying, look, he had a good year.
His first one.
his first good year, he wants 8 years, nine. He wants 10.5, 11. Austin Matthews scored 40 in his first season.
I still don't think he was worthy of getting 11.6, but he's worthy of getting double digits for sure.
Yes, he is worthy of getting.
As a person that's probably going to be a captain, a franchise number one center, a number one overall pick, I mean.
That's what
like, Kyle Dubas was doing. He's to face the franchise. Like, I love Mitch Marner, but he's not.
Austin Matthews can take over a game on his own. People see Mitch passing it off to guys, passing it to Tavares, Hyman, and think that's him taking the block shot. At the end of the day, Austin Matthews kept the Leafs in that series against the Bruins in a couple of those games where the Leafs had nothing going for them.
He's also played with rookies his entire career.
Yeah, he has not played with an established...
Because he drags his own line. They basically can put him on his own because he can handle it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Matthews, the way he finished that season, and Nylander coming off the world championship he did.
I just those two play together.
Those two with a full offseason to get back in the right head space, Nylander especially.
I still think if they could get a big winger, a big lefty winger, the guy I want, I've been banging this drum for a year now, is Michael Ferlin. If they could get Michael Ferlin to play with them, I think they could get 100 goals easily. That line would get 100 goals.
My issue is he wants – I think he lost money now, but he wanted like a, what, 5-6 year deal?
I'd give him a – he's 26.
Sure. And you know what?
He's a guy that can get you 300 hits a year and score 25 goals. And he's huge.
Yeah.
I'd pay him it. That's the only guy that I would pay a lot for.
I just my issue is I don't know if I see Dubas doing that.
Big guy hits people. He's not going to want any part of that.
I doubt it. I mean,
unless his possession numbers are unreal.
I think he's pretty good. He's a pretty good skater. He used to play with Goudreau and Monahan.
Yeah.
And that's when he put up his career. I think he had like 28 goals. He's a really good player. That's what I would do. I don't know if somebody values that higher than the Leafs. Probably will.
Oh, 100%.
Desperate-ass teams, but
I don't know.
They were interested in trading for him at the deadline, if I remember correctly. But I don't know. I would love that. I think he would be perfect. Him or Chris Kreider, I think, would be perfect wingers for him.
Kreider would be
like
perfect.
Like a big guy that can skate.
Yeah, Kreider would be nice, but he makes some money, doesn't he?
No,
he's on like 4 or 3.25. Yeah,
the problem is trading.
The problem is that it would make zero sense for the Rangers to trade him
unless they think they can't sign him. He's a UFA after this year, I think.
Yeah, he's also really good. He's really good.
So I don't know. I think the Leafs have a lot of questions. Dubas has a lot of work to do, and I hope this is the problem. He knows the Marner contract's going to take a lot of his attention. That's what I'm a little worried about.
I just hope it doesn't preoccupy his time. I doubt it does, but you never know.
I'm hoping that you're passing that off to your... Like, you're talking... Like, I think that's why Shanahan's getting involved. Like, if I'm the Leafs, Shanahan has to help Dubas in this regard. And really just trying to set the agent straight. What does Marner want? Does he want to win? I mean, or does he want...
It's not even just does he want to win. Does he want to...
Make it hard for Leafs to win.
Does he want to make money, like, outside of the rink? Does he want to play for fucking shit team like Carolina or the Islanders or... where they can get like 5,000 fans a night? Because there's no other team that's really got money that would make sense that would be willing to give up that compensation.
The only other team I can think is Detroit. That's it.
Yeah.
And I doubt...
I would take 4 first-rounders from Detroit.
And guess what? I guarantee if I'm Yzerman, I'm doing that to Braden Point.
That's my guy. I'd go. I still don't know why that's not the number one talked about guy. Especially because you know how much it would hurt them.
Yeah.
Because they have their stupid little bullshit. Oh, we have our income taxes, so take less money. It's like, no, how about you just pay me more money and I'll make more money?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, there's like a cult with Stamkos, Hedman, and those guys to basically say we're keeping this core together. Because look, Stamkos signed.
I mean, I don't have a problem with Stamkos. He's fucking been awful in the playoffs basically his whole career. So
yeah. So, with that being said, I think we have covered what I wanted to cover. Do you guys have anything else you want to throw out there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Nope.
Because you know what, we'll be going on forever if I want to do, if we want to get through this all. But I want to thank you guys for listening to this episode. Just remember, cheer on the Raptors. They should be the number one priority in this city. Although we did talk about the Leafs, notice they were second.
There's just so much news, let's be honest. If the Leafs hadn't had 12 things leak in the last 3 days, we wouldn't be talking about them at all.
So, hopefully the Raptors get one, at least one in Golden in Oakland. I think they can get two, especially with the way the Warriors are hobbling right now. I want them to win this on home court. I think it would mean so much if they won this on home court, but you take the win regardless.
I don't give a fuck if they win on home court, in the Bay, on the Sun, in Iraq, and Afghanistan. Just win.
I mean, I want them to win, but I would love that moment in Toronto, but that's just me being selfish.
I'm not being picky. I'll win in fucking six. I don't give a shit.
Oh, I know. Well, with that being said, let's hope that we at least see a Raptors win. We'll probably, if timing lines up, it could be our next podcast could come out before that happens. So hopefully we are able to do that. Thank you, guys. Make sure you listen and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. That's where we are. Thank you, Jake and Austin, again, for staying up as late as you did. I'm going to go friggin' sleep, and then I'll edit this in the morning, because I'm not about editing at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not good for the brain. Thank you, guys. Go to sleep, and we will talk soon.
Yep, sounds good. Have a good one.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.